Coming up on Patriots This Week. R&R, history. It's back to work in Foxborough.
All right, what do you guys got this morning?
A five-game winning streak has erased the idea this was a season on the brink.
We put ourselves in a good position, but it doesn't mean anything. We got to do it at a higher level than what we've done.
Now it's on to Indianapolis, where an icon of luck hangs on the helmet, and where a quarterback named Luck finesses the field.
Be the biggest game of the year.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
They said goodbye to the Broncos. Well, they said hello to the bye, and now the Patriots are going to test their luck out in Indy. How you like that? Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak. Joining me each and every week as usual, back from the bye, my main man, Jermaine Wiggins, former tight end. What's up, Matt Chatham, former linebacker? What's up with the jacket? Where'd you get that at? Shopping over to bye week?
Real nice play. Still nice place.
Good stuff right there. All right. Hey, so the Patriots start the year, obviously, 2-2. A lot of questions. Since then, guys, they end up, here we are, after the bye, sitting there at 7-2, and in control, first place, the number one seed in the AFC. Boy, you think some teams are up-and-comers, and then they don't really do anything. The Patriots don't play, but yet two divisional teams, Buffalo and Miami, take two big steps backwards and actually pad the lead. Let me start with you.
I think if you're the Patriots, and obviously for us as viewers and who we watch and we talk about this team, I think you're in the perfect position right now. If you're able to go out there and continue what you've been doing and you're able to win these football games, you're going to be in a nice position and you're going to have what ultimately matters more than anything else, and that's home field advantage. Because the game that I turned on was Detroit-Miami. They wanted two teams that you were going to be playing, and I'm thinking, okay, how are they going to look? And Miami takes a step back, Buffalo takes a step back, and it's kind of like, Kansas City is barely got by Buffalo. To me, if you're the Patriots, you got to be sitting pretty right now.
What I like is there aren't any sexy teams. I think there's just a lot of grinders. Yep. Remember, Baltimore's still kind of lingering, and you know how we'll talk about them in the event that that's a first-round playoff team. Cleveland is there at the top of their division.
Yeah, we'll get to them later in the show.
Exactly. Yeah. And Kansas City, but they all kind of have this sort of unique characteristic. I think Miami, you'd throw in that same bucket. They're fighters. They're going to play hard. They're going to play close, but none of them scare you.
Yeah.
And I think, let's be perfectly honest, I think a lot of teams might look at this Patriots team the same way. They look at a team that, they've done some things, but they see some chinks in their armor as well. So I think that makes for a wide open field.
Well, I think every year is different. You know, you lose guys like Jerod Mayo, Chandler Jones for a while. How do you look at how they've replaced them and the job that a guy like Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins has done for this team over the last 3 weeks?
You picked the perfect two guys. And I think the value those guys had coming out of college and why they were targeted. Remember, Hightower played basically Mike linebacker at Alabama. He played a much different position than he's now been asked to do. And he's moved around to a few different spots, virtually played all four in a 3-4 at some point in his young career here. His versatility has really been key. And Jamie Collins was the same guy. We know his old story. He came from the safety position to where eventually he had his hand on the ground as an end. And then he's standing again. But the idea that those are two movable pieces that can play several spots for you, it allows for them to plug and play with some guys off the street and shuffle some people on the roster. But had you not had versatility with those two, you wouldn't have been able to do the other things.
Well, you look at a tight end, and everybody looks at this offense and the transformation and their ability to score points, you know, over the last several weeks is based on number 87, Rob Gronkowski. You play the position, you look at it. You look at the way teams defend him. A team like Denver, 49 pass attempts, they didn't jam him 43 times. 43 free releases, and I guess 91% of his catches have gone for either touchdowns or first downs. How does a team like the Colts coming up defend this guy when you look at it?
You have to be physical at the line of scrimmage, because once that train gets that momentum, nothing's going to stop him, and I think that's ultimately the biggest thing you have to do. Slow him down at the line of scrimmage, and to me, that's the thing that teams are not doing. They're not making it difficult for him to get off the line. They're not making it difficult for him to avoid guys in that first 5 yards, and once he's in stride, basically, he's unstoppable.
You think of the Colts, I think of the Colts. Before sitting down to sort of research these guys this week, they used to be a four-man line team. Now, we knew that they moved to a 3-4, Pagano being a Ravens kind of guy, brings over that old 3-4 system. They used to let him free release. One of Gronk's biggest regular season games prior to this season was 2 years ago against Indy in the regular season, where he just torched him, kind of what Zoe was saying earlier. He was just running up and down the seam, just catching ball after ball after ball. This team now, because they run the stand-up 3-4, there's a potential where a 5 technique that the defensive end with an outside linebacker could create some traffic issues. So it, maybe they commit to it, but it's not. It's a group now that would be built to do it if they choose to, but too many times in the past we've seen them go the other route.
But you know what? He's always in the hip of the tackle. He's, you know, he lines up on the football, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the times you see him.
Sometimes he's cockeyed, meaning, you know, he's off the line of scrimmage where he can
flex,
get free release.
Flex just slightly.
Yeah, yeah, and that's Josh's ability to also put him in motion, a formation, flip it, and all of a sudden, and it's, defense is back off.
Yeah, and it's harder to get a jam on a guy when he's off the ball and he's kind of in that flex position versus if he's down on the line of scrimmage. Now you can hammer him with a defensive end and a linebacker.
But plus the decision is on the shoulders of a guy like Walden or somebody like that who wants to get after the quarterback. Can you convince a guy like that to abandon his rush to take out their best player? Most of the rushers in the league, they don't want to do that.
I think it's easy after, you know, after 9 games to sit here and look at how good Tom Brady has been, especially in the month of October, or Gronkowski, or the ability to protect the football. Defense, strength is a secondary. We rarely talk special teams, but you go back and you reflect, and I kind of did that over the last week, and boy, you remember the Viking game. You remember the blocked field goal, the scoop, the score there. You remember Chris Jones, you know, kind of karma, and do you believe in karma, and, you know, against the New York Jets. The Edelman punt return last week. You know, Amendola, getting him involved in the game, but he kind of gave you some spark on punt returns. How complimentary is their special teams unit this year, Matt, as opposed to other years where it seems like, boy, if they need a spark in a game, the special teams kind of finds a way to get it done.
It does now, and I think the important and impressive thing about doing that through the first sort of segment of the season is those are the times where there's fewer opportunities to do it because there's so many touchbacks. Yeah. I mean, they're not a lot of fielded kicks, so you're taking out that percentage of the game where you could affect it. Mm-hmm. So you might get the feeling that they're not affecting the game because they're not getting those reps. But the fact that they had all those plays that you mentioned, so the block kicks, the punt returns for big plays.
Those are big plays, not just little ones.
Exactly, some sparks out of the kick return. How many kick returns have we even seen this year? 10, 12? I mean, it's a really low number. So for them to have an impact at a time when it's hard to have an impact is important. What you now need to keep an eye on is the last half of the season because this is where it really does become a third of the game.
Matthew Slater clearly is, you know, one of the best gunners in the league, and that changes field position so much when you have units that can cover.
All right, guys, good stuff coming up next. We got to talk about Pittsburgh Steelers. And, boy, a team you thought, boy, put themselves back on the map. They take a step backwards up in the Meadowlands, and it's time for Brady Backup Bowl 1. Yeah, Hoyer versus Mallett. What's all next when Patriots This Week continues?
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots, and Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Rob Ninkovich. The 6'2", 260-pound defensive end came up with a critical interception against Peyton Manning in the win over the Broncos. And the 30-year-old has proven his knack for finding the ball. Since 2011, no one has recovered more fumbles than the Purdue product. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Welcome back to the show here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And, guys, we were sitting here last week, and both of these two guys, Matt Chatham and Jermaine Wiggins, were buying in on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I sat there and said, I just don't know about their defense. But, guys, what happened to Pittsburgh? Wiggy, start with you. They go into the Meadowlands. I know. I mean, they're playing well. Ben Roethlisberger should be in the MVP discussion. Now, all of a sudden, we're taking him out of it.
Well, look. Ben is who Ben is, and that's what's so frustrating. Guy throws 6 touchdowns, and then he throws...
6 and 6, back-to-back weeks.
And then he throws the worst interceptions. Yeah. I mean, like, that's the frustrating part, because they have a good team, they have a bunch of veterans, they have a good coach, they have a quarterback that's been there before, but ultimately, I think when you look at Ben Roethlisberger, he makes a lot of dumb mistakes at times, because he tries to
He extends plays, and that's what happens.
Well, see, that's the thing. He extends plays, and he makes those big plays every now and then, but sometimes you got to extend it, and when it's not there, just eat it.
My reservations with Pittsburgh really have more to do with their defense. I was buying their offense, but that defense is beat up. They lost Polamalu. They had a secondary that hasn't played well to begin with.
It's not Mike Taylor was out earlier in the year.
It's not the old faces you remember. So that was the group that I think causes more concern. That's not going to make them elite. That should never be a pass-first team. And when you see Ben starting to drop back down after down after down, especially when you got Blunt and Bell and some other guys that can run the ball, that's going to be rare.
All right, I think we have to talk about the Cleveland Browns because they're sitting there at 6-3, and they are atop the AFC North. They're led by Brian Hoyer. Totally forgot that Johnny Football was even on the team anymore. Yeah. Good for Brian Hoyer. Way to go. Make us forget about that clown. So they got Brian Hoyer versus Ryan Mallett. It's Brady backup bowl number one. And I know Coach Belichick was teed up on this earlier in the week. And he took the high road. He said, hey, we're worrying about the Indianapolis Colts. But there's got to be some pleasure to say, boy, it's nice to see guys that we had, that we developed them somewhat. We've seen it with Matt Castle. Who do you like in this game?
I think when you look at Hoyer, Hoyer's a guy, he's played. He's been playing for the past year and a half. You know, ultimately he got hurt. He's a guy that's shown he can play at a high level in the National Football League as a starting quarterback. I think Ryan Mallett, we really haven't seen that yet. So ultimately when you look at this game, you got to lean more towards Hoyer than Mallett.
And remember, Mallett is a guy who I think he's a lot like, I used the Matthew Stafford example in the preseason. We were trying to figure out if he was going to be on the team. I think they have a lot of the same makeup. He's a guy that likes to sling it. He can make all the hardest throws. He's never going to be your most efficient intermediate throw. It's just never going to happen.
But this Cleveland team, I'm telling you, somebody to keep an eye on because they're coached by Mike Patton. They're well-managed. They got a corner in Joe Hayden. So if you could lock up, see what it's like here. If you could lock up corners and you match up well, say you get them in a second or first round of the playoffs, Mike Pettine's the coach that was with the Jets that confused, kind of muddied the field for you back when the Jets had some success back in the day when Rex didn't.
Well, the thing that's scariest about the Cleveland Browns, they've been accumulating talent on the defensive side of the ball because they keep getting these high picks. Year after year after year, there are all these first and second and even third round picks that are basically make up their entire defense. But it's not an explosive offense. It's a do-the-right-thing offense with a defense that has
talent. Best thing Cleveland has going for them and Pittsburgh has going for them and Baltimore is they play in the same division as the Cincinnati Bengals. We're take a victory lap here because I've been telling you for 3 years on this show. You want to give Andy Dalton $115 million? Knock yourself out. You want to extend Marvin Lewis, who's been there for 12 years, has never won a playoff game? Cincinnati will never be relevant in that division. And it's just great to see a guy like Andy Dalton not have the ability to function in the wind in his own stadium.
Andy Dalton, to me, has just never made that next step. At times, he makes the big throw. You know, people say, oh, but I also have to look and say, you know what? He does have some talent around him. So is it really him making that big throw, or is it the fact that he does have some really good talent, A.J. Green and some of the other players around him?
I totally disagree with both of you guys. So here's the reason. Okay, so I think Andy Dalton is a weird cat. I get that he has
really sold that Pepsi commercial. Makes me want to go out and get a Pepsi.
He's played poorly in big games, and that should count against him. Trust me, I'm not saying that I would have advocated the contract they gave him, but he plays this weird sort of spot in the NFL where people only evaluate him when he plays poorly. He's had A.J. Green gone for several weeks, kept them winning, found a relationship with Mohamed Sanu as Giovanni Bernard was gone. He's had guys gone. We gave Tom Brady a ton of credit, as he deserved last year, for holding things together when he didn't have much around him and the stats didn't back him. I agree that piling on him last week is very much warranted, but that means you can't skip over the other seven games as well.
All right, guys, good stuff right there. We got to talk about the big game coming up, and that's the big one, the showdown out in Indy with Andrew Luck and the Colts. That's next on Patriots. So it's the first road game in about 5 weeks. Now, we're very nervous about this kid named T.Y. Hilton. We're originally staying at the Hilton down in Indy. We changed it. He's so good, we're staying at the Marriott Marquis now. Let's take a look at T.Y. Hilton. That's a big joke right there. Compact formation. What this does, cheats up the safety. So you got to be cautious here. A little return motion. They love to go vertical. Andrew Luck is a lot like Joe Flacco, meaning seven-step drop, really launches it. I mean, it's just a bad play right here by the defender. Short throw, underneath throw. Darrell Revis, Browner, should make a play on that football. Again, here we go. Watch him run through coverage. Right there, a little double move to the top. Notice a trend here. All the go routes are to the right side. Andrew Luck loves to extend plays. But then you think, okay, it's going to be to the right. Watch the double post move right here. Runs right through the safety. It's a bad job by that safety sitting. Andrew Luck does a good job putting the ball way out front where T.Y. Hilton could go get it. We remember that for the playoff game. Don't let him do it. At Lucas Oil Stadium, there's your Zoe Show. Go stop that guy.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We head to Indy for the big showdown, 6-3, and that team is in first place in the AFC South. Andrew Luck playing at a very high level, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and guys, 3 years into the league, he's already thrown for over 11,000 yards. What do you make of him when you look at him, Wiggy? And I know Matt referred to him earlier in the show. He looks like Aaron Rodgers. And I agree with that. Everybody likes to compare him with Peyton because he's finished. He's kind of picked up where Peyton has left off in the uniform, right? Ugly helmet. God, I hate that helmet.
He's more comparable to Aaron Rodgers in a way that they're both pretty mobile. and they both control the football.
He's stronger than Rodgers, though.
Yeah, he's stronger, but the problem that the thing that he lacks that Rodgers does exceptionally well is he's able to break down a defense. And I think at times you see Andrew Luck do that, but then at other times you see him making, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 mistakes where you're like, wait a second, why did he just throw that football there? I mean, he did it last year in the playoff game. So to me, at times his decision-making is some of I would question.
I respect the guy tremendously. He's mobile Flacco, though, to me. He's mobile Flacco. And the reason I say that, he's much more athletic.
Pocket hanger.
But what he does is he puts 5, 6, 7 balls out there that you can really do something because he has a tremendous faith in his arm. I think he's a guy, if you can disrupt the routes, get that first one off him, the waterfall follows out.
But you got Pep Hamilton. He's the offense coordinator. I just wonder how much they tell him, you know, everything's got to be anticipatory, where you've got to see that spot.
Big word.
I came up with that big word. Give me someone else.
Good stuff for that.
I know. He usually has them. No, we're not going to do a spell check here. But you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? There's got to be the belief that, okay, from a timing aspect, he's got to release it now. And there is some of that Brett Favre, I got to take a chance here. But I just wonder how much, you know, that gambling aspect catches up with him. And that's where he's kind of there knocking on the doors to, you know, being really good to elite, but the turnovers and mistakes are the ones that are going to
kill him. That's ultimately what kills him. And I think when you look, he has the elite talent, physical tools, but it's the decision-making. Do we see Brady or some of the elites, Peyton Manning, where these guys have 4, 5, 6 throws a game where you're like, why are they throwing that? With Andrew Luck, that's what you see.
Good point.
He's got weapons now, I think, where he's developed kind of the group around him. They feel a lot like the Patriots. I think you'll feel that same way. There's no one super dominant player. No, T.Y. Hilton is obviously a very productive guy. He's good. He's dangerous. But it's also a game where you won't be surprised if Fleener's your leading guy at the tight end position. Reggie Wayne, you look back over his course of a season, he's had games where he's been targeted 13 times, 13, 10, 9, 8. He's still a high-target guy, even though you don't think of him as a lane guy.
But Revis and Brown.
I think you mix things up throughout the course of the game.
I do, too. I think they're going to play this game similar to the way they played Chicago, where it's kind of, you know, hey, we're going to line up on one side of the field, and other times, other series, we're going to man up.
And they've got both backs who have been hyper-productive, and we were talking about this offset. Dwayne Allen is a tight end that's targeted heavily and has a bunch of red zone touchdowns. So I think it's one of those games where you mind your tendencies, you pay attention to where you're at on the field, personnel group comes in, we're in a certain down distance, okay, it switches. Now this is the guy who becomes the focus.
It's probably one of your weaker defenses that you face, and that's why a team like Pittsburgh, I think, could hang, you know, 6 touchdown passes on.
Yeah, and then when you got to look at it, if you're the Patriots, it all starts with Gronkowski. And who on that side of the football, on the Colts side of the football defensively, how do you slow him down?
This is one of the weeks where this is an average front. Yep. It's an average front. So, yes, the secondary's got some names. We know DeQuell Jackson's a good linebacker. No linebacker, they'll flow, and they'll have a good tackle stat at the end of the day. But they're not as disruptive. They're disruptive through scheme, as what you mentioned before. But there isn't one one-on-one matchup there that you feel like you're going to lose.
Coming up next, we have our picks, who's going to win the game, plus our game changer. We're going to go to Matt Chatham first, then Wiggy. That's all next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. New ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
Make sure Mike Evans is in your starting lineup when the Bucks head to D.C. this weekend. The rookie is impressed with 249 yards and 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games. Evans should feast on a weak Washington secondary, but keep Larry Donnell on the bench. A popular fantasy pickup after scoring 3 against the Redskins. The Giants' tight end has done little since. Don't expect him to do much when the 49ers come to the Meadowlands. But grab Mark Sanchez if you need a QB. The former Jet looks way more comfortable in forest green than he did in gangrene. And Sanchez and the Philly offense should do well at Lambeau Field. Never miss a Patriots game this season with the combined power of NFL Mobile and Fios Quantum TV and Internet. Exclusively from Verizon.
All right, welcome back to the show. Time now for our picks. We're going to start with Matt Chatham. Need your pick and your game changer. Who will have the biggest impact?
I'm going to go Patriots, 30-20. And my game changer is actually going to be, I'm going to the well here. I think Julian Edelman's going to have one of those games. He's been riding along as the second and third sort of soldier for a while. I think he busts out now with a diverse game, much like the old David Patton in the RCA Dome with Indy, where he caught one, threw for one, ran for one. I think Edelman's going to find a way to contribute in multiple ways.
Wiggy.
Simple for me. I'm jumping on the bandwagon here. I'm going my game changer. Rob Gronkowski, he's going to be a game changer every week.
Right until they stop it.
Exactly. I might pick him every week. And the Patriots are going to win big. 35-17.
I got the Patriots in this game. 38-27. It's not going to be that close. Colts are going to have a ton of junk yards and points at the end of this game. My game changer, Jamie Collins, because at some point, third and short, Luck might be hurt and you're picking up plays with his legs. He might be the spy. He might be the guy that shuts Andrew Luck down. That's going to do it for this week's edition. Patriots this week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.